This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. Go to FUBARradio.com for more details. Ray Peacock on FUBAR Radio.
Here is the radio programme. But nothing's working at the moment. You just watched me press that then.
I did.
You watched me do it.
I did.
So it's not me that's fucking up on this.
What number is it?
4. On the show today, for the programme that we're doing, guests. We're having technical problems is what's happening at the moment, that's why I'm not speaking. It's a pre-record, so we could fix it, but we're just not gonna. Tamer Hassan's on the show. He's in Game of Thrones. Never watched it. Also on the show today, Charlotte Rose. She had it off with a man with a penis, but not a penis.
Ray Peacock on FUBAR Radio.
Hello and welcome to the show. Pre-record. We're doing a pre-record. But for you people at home, it is live. So at the moment, where I am, it's 13:18 is the time here. But the time for the people listening to it would be... Nat?
It would be...
Do the maths.
1:03.
No, it wouldn't.
2:00. Sorry, we start at 2 now, don't we?
Yeah.
2:03.
Yeah. It must be more than that.
Well, we started bang on at 1:15.
We did.
So if it's 18, it would
no,
be...
No, you're right. You're perhaps right. 2:03. But it's now 2:04. Nearly.
Nearly 2:05.
It's difficult, isn't it? Are we going to predict any more deaths? It's a difficult one, isn't it? Because...
We didn't predict deaths last time.
Well, we did.
Well, unintentionally, you did.
No, but I absolutely did.
Okay,
There's no argument about that. A death was predicted.
But we didn't go into it actually thinking that... By saying that anyone would die. So.
But I didn't think by saying that those people definitely wouldn't die.
Oh, okay.
I didn't think if I say their names, then you know, they've got a free pass for that week. They won't die because that wouldn't happen.
But then you don't, if we did it again, yeah. I wouldn't want to say somebody that I really liked in case they did. And then I wouldn't want to say somebody that I really don't like in case.
Well, but if we say, I'm really, really sorry, we're all very sad that Nat's died.
Yeah, you could say that.
Really? Now that I've got a good history for it, though. For the first one, and that was the first one I was saying.
Oh, no, I don't want you to start off
I've done
me.
It.
It doesn't have to be me, does it? It could be Nat. Another Nat.
No, maybe. I meant you.
Okay.
I meant you. Natalie King.
Okay, there's loads of them as well.
Off FUBAR Radio.
Loads of them.
No, the girl, FUBAR Radio, Natalie King, who lives in... Oh, I can't remember.
Bounds
somewhere
Green.
In the... Oh, yeah, thanks. Bounds Green, that girl, that's the one.
Yeah.
Where do you live? What number? What number Bounds Green?
It's number 21.
21 Bounds Green.
Yeah.
She lives
at. All my posters go. If you put the anything in the letterbox, it goes straight to me.
Yeah, 21 Bounds Green.
Comes there, yeah.
Nat King, 21 Bounds Green, London.
That's it.
N15.
Yeah.
7-2-4-9.
How did you know my address?
It's close, wasn't it?
It's very weird.
Because it's me that's sending you all that dog shit. Anyway, welcome to the show. Who would you like to die?
I don't want anyone to die.
What, you don't want anyone in the world at all to die? How?
Because I don't even
there's
want
no
to
one,
say...
There's no one who you would obliterate from the earth.
There are people that I'm not a fan of that I would think, oh, what a shame, you know, if I read something about them,
terrorism?
I wouldn't feel anything.
Somebody who's about to do a terrorist attack, potentially?
Well, I don't want to name a person. I don't want to fall out with, you know...
Donald Trump?
I don't want him to die.
Why? Do you think that's the only way that it'll be sorted out, if he actually, you know, has an heart attack or something?
I mean, possibly, but...
He's, like, marauding out of control.
He is, very much.
Like, dangerous. What, worse than how Hitler was at the start of his campaigns.
Yeah.
But that's just a fact. Genuinely worse in the things he's saying.
Would you want to say RIP to Donald Trump?
Would I want him to rest in peace as well?
Yeah, you wouldn't want him to rest in peace.
Not particularly. I'd happily see him just gone.
All right, so... Donald Trump, then.
I wouldn't gloat about it, but no. I'd have no issue at all and no tinge of sadness if I woke up tomorrow and he died. No problem at all.
No. I mean, I'd feel the same about Mugabe or somebody as well if I woke up and
okay,
Mugabe
so there,
no
well, there we've got two now already. So we're all very, very sad that Donald Trump has died.
Yeah.
Nat.
I am very sad that Robert Mugabe is no longer with us.
And he died already?
I'm pretty sure he's not dead.
Can we Google that?
I'm pretty sure Mugabe is.
I don't want you Google that.
He's never leaving. Even if he is dead, it'll be like, we remember Weekend at Bernie's. That's what I think it would be like.
Well, you
never
think
they
just prop him
in?
Yeah, maybe. I'm struggling to speak today. Yeah, Adam has just confirmed that Robert Mugabe is still alive. But you say that, but this is a pre-record.
That's
so maybe he's not. So maybe we're now giving out incorrect facts.
Is it okay to say Putin? What do we think
okay,
about him?
This time last week he was alive.
Okay.
Putin?
Do we?
I'd have no issue with him being away.
But I equally don't upset these people. Imagine if he did Russia.
Upset them? Why do you think Putin spends his mornings listening to
football? Listening, but imagine like if this time Putin did die.
Yeah.
And then it was like, oh, Ray's done it again, two for two.
Ray's done it again. Yeah.
And then it gets put out on, I don't know, Twitter or something. Yeah. And then, I mean, we know what happened to Alexander Litvinenko, didn't we?
I was about to say, it'd be very, very odd, wouldn't it, for Vladimir Putin to be involved, even indirectly, with someone mysteriously dying.
Exactly, that's what I was thinking. And now I'm thinking that maybe don't say certain people that could...
I said, well, we're saying we'd be very sad if he died.
I'd be very upset if Putin died. I don't
want
to.
Why would you be sad about that?
You know, because all those photos that he's on like horseback, those sort of homoerotic type photos of him shooting
like
a gun, would be a shame for the world not to have some more of
them. But would you not argue that maybe we've got enough of them already?
Sure, yeah, we probably have.
Like, do you look at those pictures and think, you know what, I'd rather see him wearing a red shirt. Is there any way that can be sorted out?
Maybe, let's ask him. He's on the phone later.
Okay, who else? Who else do you predict dying?
Oh, predict?
Yeah, you don't have to want them to die. I'll concede you don't have to want them to die.
I don't know who's...
Anyone personal in your life? Anyone from your family?
No, they're all really healthy.
Do you wish any of your family dead?
Not at the moment, no, there's no...
Have you ever wished any of your family dead? Even as a child, have you ever just thought,
I probably just thought.
As a child?
I think
Who was it? Your mum?
Maybe.
Your mum, all right. What would you...
She was shouting at me or something.
Then you've thought, what?
What if I just push you down the stairs?
Oh, sorry. What, you're going to kill them?
No.
Wait, oh no, this is different completely. No, I mean, fucking hell. What did you plan? What did you plot?
No, I didn't do it. She was just being annoying.
Have you ever plotted a murder?
I've never plotted or... I didn't even think about death. I thought, you know, she just like... Stop shouting at me for a minute.
But how though? By you putting a knife through her. You must have plotted a murder. I don't mean with the intention of carrying it out. I mean like in a sort of a angry fantasy.
No, I haven't plotted
a
murder. I mean, you know, like sometimes, did you ever do that thing? Oh, I don't know if I want to say any of this.
Say it.
But you know, and this is, you know, lots of people have done this. And then you're just in a car with somebody and they're like, oh, how many points would you get if you run that person over and you're like, I'll give you 20
right.
that you don't like. But you never do it.
No.
It's like Dexter.
But that's the sort of, that's what I'm getting at there. There must be people in your life who've upset you in your life.
Yeah.
And have you never just had like sort of grisly, macabre fantasies about them meeting an untimely end or being in an accident or anything like that?
I used to have a boss that wasn't that popular to everybody that we worked with. And one time when he'd been particularly nasty, I remember we were in a pub, about 20 people.
Who was the boss?
What if we could find someone and something happened? And then we were thinking like, well, we'd never be found out because the amount of people he's annoyed would have to be about
200. You know what
200?
I said to you? Have you ever plotted it? And then you went, oh no, I've never plotted it. And
it
then you told me a plot.
It wasn't a plot because nothing happened.
Is.
It's one of those things you say.
That's actually even worse. That's
you
actually even worse that because had that person met their end and somebody had overheard that conversation, you could have been done for conspiracy.
I know.
And
but
conspiracy
no one did
is much more, you get a much bigger
but it never happened.
With that.
It's just one of those things. I don't want someone to die.
Do you never, you know, when you're like about horrible sort of tragedies going on and like things going on in London or whatever?
Yeah.
Do you never like think to yourself, oh, I hope so and so's in that?
I don't think that. No.
I do. Yeah, definitely. I definitely do.
But when you hear about something on the news and you think, oh,
yeah.
Hijacking thing, and what I've imagined for that person.
Yeah, I do. And then I think, what would I say about them afterwards? So if somebody that, you know, I've crossed swords with or whatever, that died, what would I... And I was asked for an opinion on it, or if somebody said, oh, I'm sorry to hear about whoever, because they think that we're still friends, or that sort of thing. I've often thought, how would I broach that? Would I just be like, oh, well, don't get on.
Yeah, don't you? I would prefer that. You know when people die, particularly in the public eye,
yeah.
and then everybody comes out and is like, "Oh, I met them once in 1982," and yeah. I'd like to tell people about it on Twitter because yeah. I feel everyone needs to know. I feel like if you didn't really get on with somebody,
yeah.
I think it's quite hypocritical when people like go to a funeral or something as if like.
Okay,
oh.
yeah, I agree with that. But what if? But if they were asked to make, here's an example. So Miles Hunt from The Wonder Stuff.
Yes.
Very sadly, somebody else from The Wonder Stuff. I shouldn't have even named him, but look, the drummer of The Wonder Stuff died. He was in a motorbike accident.
Right.
Okay. Now, prior to that, Miles Hunt had reformed The Wonder Stuff with different musicians, and that gentleman wasn't in it anymore. And then he died, and then Miles Hunt was then in a... There was clearly some sort of fallout or whatever.
Mm.
And then Miles Hunt was doing gigs and, like, dedicating songs to him and stuff and saying he had, you know, all the last... And is that not just the proper way to do it? Can you not... What should he have done instead?
But do you think maybe there's a part when somebody dies where you regret falling out with them, then you feel bad about it?
Yeah,
so
there
you
might be an element of that.
Yeah.
But then should you sort things out before people die, do you think?
But you never know when someone's going to die. We didn't know Ronnie Corbett was going to die, did we?
I knew.
So you didn't know?
I knew, definitely. I was certain of it.
As long as we didn't hex anybody.
I was certain. I had no inside information
yeah,
at all.
Just like, I knew.
Just had a feeling that. I get feeling. It's like similar to the feeling I've got about you at the
right.
moment. Just feel like something bad's going
to
happen.
Well, I've used up quite a few of my nine lives, really. So
what on? Let's write down Nat's nine lives. Nat's missing lives from
right.
her nine. Now, I'm not even questioning that she's a cat.
Right.
Go on.
I mean, obviously, I did have the embolism, so that was a big one.
Embolism.
Yeah, the pulmonary embolism.
Remind us of that. What happened?
That was when I had my blood clot.
Say it sexy.
Okay. That was when I had a lot of pain, and I kept going to the doctor.
Yeah.
And first of all, they said, oh, I think you might have got, what did they say I had? I can't remember what.
PMT.
Pleurisy. Yes. And so they gave me some, what's that drug that makes you... Valium,
Anadin.
But it's called something else. Diazepam, that's it. They gave me some diazepam to take me.
So they basically accused you of being hysterical.
No. That did help the pain, but then I went back and they said, oh, I said, I'm actually getting worse. So they did a little x-ray, found something, sent me for a CT. And then by the time I got to the CT...
Where was it? Where was the embolism?
It was near my heart.
Near your heart?
Yeah.
So close.
It was very close. In fact, my doctor, Dr. Mahaja, my lovely doctor, said...
Dr. Mahaja, yeah. How does he speak?
Hello, Natalie.
Oh, does he?
Yeah.
Is that true?
That's what he says. Yeah, he hasn't...
Is that true?
He doesn't have an accent of any kind, apart from a Surrey accent.
Everyone's got an accent.
A Surrey accent he's okay. got. But he did say, when I said about, how serious is it, Dr. Mahaja? And he said, well, put it this way, if you'd come in next week, you wouldn't have been able to come in next week because you'd have been dead. So that's a very close call that I had there.
I mean, that's a bit weird for an educated man to say something.
But I think it's because I wasn't believing him and I was going, well, I'm going home, I don't have clean knickers.
Doesn't make any sense, that.
No, but I was going, I don't have any clean underwear here or a toothbrush.
No, say knickers again.
Knickers.
Yeah.
Why? What's wrong with that?
No, it's funny that you just slipped in clean knickers, but
no, but that's when you stay in a hospital or anywhere. You don't want to be out without clean underwear
yeah.
and a toothbrush.
Toothbry.
Toothbry.
That's if there's just one of them.
Who?
Okay. So.
Are you calling my doctor? What's
no,
going
hang on.
On.
So.
Then I had the one with the stomach, didn't I? That was quite a pain about that.
So that hang on. So one of your lives is a blood clot.
Blood clot. Yeah. Clot.
Hello.
Barry.
Yes.
Hey, mate, you're right.
Yes, you?
Yeah, not too bad. Just a quick one. Nat's just been telling me about a doctor. What was he called again?
Dr. Mahaja.
Dr. Mahaja.
Hi, Barry.
Hello, Nat.
And we didn't... We couldn't really work out how you would talk.
Dr. Mahaja?
Yeah. And I know you're quite...
Where he studied.
You're quite good at accents and stuff, so I thought you could let me know how Dr. Mahaja might talk. He was basically saying, what he said to Nat was, because she had an embolism near her heart, this is true.
Oh, shit.
no, it was ages ago. And Dr. Mahaja said to Nat, so here's what you got to remember, if you'd have come in next week, you wouldn't have been able to come in because you'd be dead.
Right.
That's what he said. But Nat can't do the accent, and I was like, Barry knows how to do accents, so could you just do that accent for me? Dr. Mahaja it is.
Well, I'm telling you now,
yeah.
I'm in Tesco's.
Right.
Right, which I know causes an issue for you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because you don't like Tesco's.
That's true.
But also, it causes a problem for me. Because I don't want to get kicked out.
Why?
For doing a voice.
Well, can you whisper the voice for me then, please?
Absolutely not.
Get yourself down to the bread aisle. Right, build a little fort with bread. Because bread's really good for soundproofing.
Mm. And egg boxes. Egg on
yeah.
is good.
And the egg boxes are relatively near the bread, I would imagine. Mm. So, egg boxes, pack it with bread, get right in the middle of that. So, basically, so it's...
Well, what accent does he think he's going to do?
I don't know. That's what I'm asking Barry. Dr. Mahaja.
We smell brute.
I don't know his work. I've never met the man.
He's a doctor. He's a doctor that sort of, you know, eventually saved Nat's life, really.
Mm. Right.
But Nat's refusing to tell me what he speaks like, so I was like, well, I know someone who does accents, which is you, and you can just very, very quickly say to us what Dr. Mahaja would have said when he was saying to Nat, if you'd have come in next week, you wouldn't have been able to come in because you'd be dead. Just put your hand over your mouth to do it.
Absolutely not.
Why?
Not... Because I can't.
You can't what? You can't. I've heard you do it loads of times.
No, you haven't.
You definitely can. I've heard you do it. I often have to tell you to stop doing it after about an hour.
Well, what accent are you planning on doing, Barry?
The voice of Dr. Mahala. What's he called?
Mahaja.
Mahaja.
Right.
So what are you planning to do? That's a good question from Nat.
Well, I don't know where he's from.
Well, have a guess, Dr. Mahaja.
I don't know.
What does it sound like he's from?
I've no idea. Look, geography was a bad one at school.
No, this isn't geography, mate. This is, I'm just telling you about a man. Where do you think he sounds like he's from? I'm not asking you to point to it on a map.
Which hospital was it?
Good question.
St. Peter's Hospital in Chertsey in Surrey.
St. Peter's Hospital, Chertsey, Surrey, and it wasn't a Friday.
It was a Friday.
It was a Friday.
It was a Friday.
Apparently, it was a Friday. It was a Friday as well, Barry.
It was a Friday. Yeah. It was a Friday. Well, in that case, PM. He was probably called 6 p.m. on a Friday. Mm. Well, there you go.
What does that mean?
You know my thoughts.
Well, I do, but this is something different, isn't it? So tell me your thoughts.
No, nobody does any proper work on a Friday.
I mean, you've come and work at Foodbar, they don't do it any other fucking day either. why not?
Because you piss about on a Friday. Mm. I used to work in a hospital, and we used to put bedpans on our head and drink tea through a catheter.
Yeah, I saw that. I saw that in my hospital. Yeah.
So, in that case then, Barry...
And we were the supplies department.
Yeah, you were important.
Yeah.
In that case, surely it would be plausible, under your remit, it would be plausible that Dr. Mahaja was putting on funny voices.
Possibly, yes.
Right, okay, fine. So, you've actually got to get out in that, mate, because you could just say, no, I'm doing an impression of somebody else doing an impression. So, let's say, for example, that Dr. Mahaja looked at Nasi and thought, hang on, she's clearly quite in a lot of distress here. I don't want to get her too worried, so I'll let her have a little smile. And he just thought to himself, do you know what? I'm going to give her the bad news, but I'm going to give it her in a Chinese accent. What would he sound like then?
do you want me hounded off the circuit?
That was no good, mate, and that's not what he said. What he said was...
He's trying to put the kibosh on any...
He didn't say kibosh.
What's wrong with that? If memory serves, Barry, you've actually done an accent on this show before.
Which, have I?
Yeah, I'm sure you have. I can't remember the details, but as you were saying that then, I had a bit of deja vu. I'm sure you have.
There's certain ones you just don't do.
What ones do you not do?
Chinese.
Really? I'd have thought Chinese would probably be the one you'd get away with the easiest.
Hmm.
What? Okay, well, in that case, give us a chart. Give us the top four in order that you just shouldn't do, ever.
From four to one,
In
at number four,
Barry Dodds, the accent that we can't do is...
Chinese.
And then just do a little example of it. Say you're very sorry that they can't do the Chinese accent.
Say it's 2:30.
It is
2:30, yeah.
If you could see what's in front of me now, you'd appreciate why I can't.
what or who?
just because, well, she's looking worried, anyway. I've walked around the veg aisle twice, just randomly saying the word Chinese, because of paranoid as it is.
It's like you've been told to go and find some. And you're ticking them off in your head like Rain Man. All right.
Has it ever got cancelled?
In three. Yes, that's true. That did happen this morning. Do you know what happened this morning, mate?
A
guest. What was he called? That boy who cancelled.
I can't remember his name off the top of my head.
I think that's part of why he cancelled.
Because
he felt like he wasn't being respected.
No.
Because Nat kept emailing Thingy. James... Ketchell.
That's
Adam
it.
Just told me I'm here. James Ketchell, who's an adventurer and an explorer, right?
Yeah.
And he was meant to come in, but he's pulled out because he's got a cold.
Yeah, he's the the first and only person to row across the Atlantic Ocean, summited Mount Everest, and cycled 18,000 miles around the world.
All his press and PR says how brave he is.
But he's got a bit of a cold today.
Even his PR person was saying, thank you for booking my brave client. Genuinely said that in an email, right? And then he didn't come in because he's got a cold. So I thought, fuck it, I'll just ring Barry and get him to do Chinese accents down the phone for an hour. Barry, in three. Third place, accents that you can't do. Barry, suggest it.
South African.
Pardon?
South African.
Let's try and make him say it louder.
Yeah.
Okay, why can you not do that one?
Because I tried it once and somebody got upset with us.
Who got upset with you?
Why did you try it? What made you try it?
Because it was in snooker club.
Why can you not say it? And him saying, if your cinema knows.
No, it was in snooker club. And he was called Greg, and his accent, he was playing to win the game.
Right.
And he went, and he just said, I can't get that bloody black. Right. Which in his accent, I repeated.
Right.
And apparently it was inappropriate.
In second place, accents
Indian.
That you can't... Oh, fucking hell, straight in with that one. Why is that?
Again, you just can't.
No, you can't. But what's your experience of doing that?
I've never had experience of that.
You've never done an Indian accent in your life?
No, but nothing where I've been told off for it.
Okay. Do you want to try it now and see if you get told off?
No, let's leave that one.
And in first place, the biggest taboo accent that you can do, according to Barry Dodds, is...
Pakistani.
Fucking hell, mate.
Fucking hell, I really hope somebody just walked past you and she said
that. I know.
You sounded... That was like you'd seen somebody and you were cross about it. Like you were just having a chat and then you looked at someone like, Pakistani. That was even worse, mate.
Dr. Mahajir had none of those accents.
He's from Surrey. But
I'm sorry.
Yeah,
all right.
Yeah, you could have just done it. We wouldn't have even had to have had any of this discussion at all. Because we could have just said he's from Surrey. You could have just literally repeated what I said. I'd have let you go and get on with your shop. But instead, we had this huge, you know, self-incriminating for you conversation about, and then which ended with you going, Pakistani.
As if I don't get enough grief on Twitter.
You won't get... Right, I put an amnesty on that. You can't give Barry grief on Twitter unless it's about his accents. That's the only thing
no.
You're like... No, not at all.
No.
Why can... just to round it up, why can you not do a Pakistani accent, mate? I don't mean that you're not capable of it, because I know you are.
Racist.
Isn't that nice? That's right. You're
that
right, Barry.
Right, yeah.
You're right. That's all this boy, that's all you ever have to say.
Yeah.
I said to you, why can't you not that voice? You should have gone, because it's racist.
Hmm.
But instead, you told us about a time when you were playing snooker with someone. He said, I can't get that. Yeah. How did he say it?
Blick.
Barry.
What?
I'm going to find that Erasure song and I'm going to play it all the way through for you. That's the least I can do for you. So there's one nice thing happens before.
Right.
for all, everything you'll now deal with. It's not on the system. Where's Barry's Erasure song?
It will be.
Right, I'm going to find it for you, mate.
Alright.
What are you doing the rest of the day?
Got to have a carvery.
On your own?
No, with friends.
Okay.
And then I'm off to do a gig in Northampton.
Oh, God, you're doing the picture drum, aren't you?
Yeah.
So, really, it probably won't matter about this conversation, because this is only out on Monday, next Monday.
Right.
And it's like, people be like, yeah, he said things like that on the radio, but he has died now.
Oh, God, I'm worried.
What are you worried about?
you told me it's really hard.
It's not hard, it's just fucking horrible. It's just not nice. But bear in mind, I've not played that gig for, like, getting on for 6 years, 7 years, maybe.
Right.
I'm amazed it's still a thing. I'm amazed that gig is still going. That's crazy.
It's only two acts on.
Who else is on with you?
Jenny Collier and Rob Deering.
Okay, well, Rob's safe hands, isn't he? And Rob's, he'll have his guitar and shit.
Yeah.
He's probably the ideal act for that room. Are you comparing? Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know what to advise you, mate. No, I really don't. It's not. It is no reflection on you.
Right, okay.
It's just not. They're just surly and unappreciative and eating food.
Oh, really? Right, okay.
The comedy is the last thing on anyone's mind.
Really? Right.
Yeah. I think they could rebrand it, the Northampton Get Together.
All the locals.
And just save money on acts.
Right.
Just stick them all in that room, but without a show on, and they'll be fine. What music right. on. Because they won't do anything different to what they're already doing.
But
I reckon, because a resident compared it, so I reckon I've done it maybe 30 times, and I reckon I have had one good gig in there.
Right. I mean, it doesn't bode well, does it?
Well,
but you never know.
You never know. You really don't know. You don't know. And it might have been completely revamped. Might be lovely now. But I'm just saying, 7 years ago, when that's when I did it, it wasn't. But that doesn't mean to say it won't be now.
Right, well, I'll let you know how it goes.
Doesn't matter anyway, does it? You're getting your 15 quid. I tell you what, you're going to take that 15 quid and you're going to put a bit to it yourself and get a steel book. How about that? Just think that.
That'd be cool. That would be quite nice.
There we go. Well, think that all the time you're on that stage.
Dear me. Well, at least it'll be... Oh, God. Do you know what? It'll be a break from today and Twitter. And have you told Nat that maths problem that I've got?
No.
Sorry, you want me to cross over this maths problem onto this show as well? This is something that's the Parapod. So the podcast me and Barry do, the Parapod, which is about ghosts and stuff. And mysteries at the moment. Barry told me a thing that was a mystery. So you can tell her now if you want.
I have a calculator. And see,
but no, well, you don't need them. You won't need one.
I am terrible at maths.
No, it's not. A sum.
Okay.
Barry, tell Nat.
Right. Well, what happens is, right, let's say I've popped down to the studio, right?
Yeah.
I've got... Oh. See you later.
No, tell me. Go on.
No, because I'm going to talk all over my own song.
I promise you I'll wait until you've told Nat the thing.
Right.
All right, Nat. Let's say I've popped down to the studio, right? Yeah. I've got... I want to buy a sausage roll.
No, change it from that. So at least change it up. What are you going to buy this time?
All right, I want to buy a cup of coffee.
Okay. Cup of coffee.
Right. Coffee.
I'm in the coffee aisle.
I want to buy some sardines.
Right. I want to buy a cup of coffee that costs 97 pence. Right. Yeah. I come down. I've got no money. I asked to borrow 50p off you and 50p off Ray.
Yeah.
So I borrow that, right? I pop back here, I buy my cup of coffee, I get given 3 pence change.
Mm-hmm. Mate, you're miles away from where you are now. From where we are now. We're in London.
Yeah. Right, well...
Just get one in London. There's a coffee place around the corner. There's one downstairs.
I get it, though. So you've got 3p in your hand at this point.
Yeah, so I've got 3p change.
Yeah.
Right.
I can't believe I'm sitting through this again.
Right, so I give you a penny back, I give Ray a penny back. So how much do I know? How much do I now owe you and Ray? How much do I owe you, Nat?
You're giving me a penny back from that, so 49p.
Okay, so and I'd owe Ray 49p as well, yeah?
Yeah.
So 49 at 49.
Yeah.
Is 98.
Yes.
I've got the other penny.
Yeah, which is
90. Which makes 99. Where's the other penny gone?
Do you know what? I don't...
Of course you don't know. You're as big an idiot as he is.
Okay, right, well, Barry. Just go through this. 50, all right, 50, yes.
I can't go through this again.
Adam,
I can't. No, no. It's not. It's absolutely not going to happen. All I right. had this for 2 hours
but you know
last
what
week.
It is, obviously.
It's fucking straightforward.
It's not.
It's so straightforward. It is basic maths.
It's not.
Why are you holding back the penny?
Because you owe us half of the penny each.
No, why is he holding back a penny?
Right, okay.
That's the question you need to ask. He's got some change. Why is he keeping hold of one pence?
One tea, yeah.
Because he's keeping hold of that one pence, he's skewering it.
Yeah.
So he shouldn't be keeping hold of it.
No,
he should be coming back, giving us the 3 pence, and then giving us 97 pence to make it up to a pound, which is the price of the sausage roll. Mm-hmm. It's that simple. The only reason that you're making it different is because you're holding back a penny. That's where the penny's gone.
Do you understand it, Nat?
Yeah.
You say, that makes 99, where's the penny gone? It's in your hand!
No, 49 and 49 is 98, and I've got another penny. That would make it 99.
Genuinely not.
That is true. It does make 98, 99 pounds, yeah.
I've hung up on him.
Oh, no!
It's gone.
Ray Peacock on FUBAR Radio.
Welcome back after that erasure nonsense. Get that off. I've pressed the wrong thing. That one. There we go. It's gone. That was for Barry. Play it for Barry. Because he was a very good boy. He just texted me to say sorry. Was caught completely off guard there.
With what?
With me just phoning him out of the blue. And I said to him, well, you came across very badly.
Okay.
That's what I told him. I'm not putting your mic up.
Oh, okay. Fine.
I like it to be peripheral.
Just shout.
Right, I've got Adam here as well.
Yeah.
Hello.
All right. There you are. All right, mate. There's a reason for you being here. So, on the line now, we have a car. It's a car.
Well, yeah, you're interviewing a car today.
Got a car on. Tamer?
Yeah,
Tamer.
Yeah.
We're having a discussion about how to pronounce your name.
Tam. The Americans say Tamer.
I'm going to go with Tam. Is that right?
Yeah, that works.
Tam Hassan, right. So, I'll tell you what the situation is. Thank you for joining us, by the way. Where are you driving to?
I'm on my way to Liverpool.
Oh, I'm sorry, man. Why are you going there?
Don't be sorry. We're going to have a night out. I've bought some properties up there, so I've got to meet the estate agent up there, and we're going to have a night out. I'm with my cousin, H. So we're on the M1 on our way to Liverpool.
Do you know where you should go? You should go. There's a comedy club called Baby Blue on the Albert Dock.
I've heard about that place. And right. We're looking for something to go, so
mate, go there, get fucking leathered and really act up.
Okay, perfect.
Like, really ruin the show.
Can I heckle? Perfect.
By all... Mate, you knock yourself out. Whatever you want to do, you do it. I hate it. I hate that club.
Done. I'm going to do that especially for you.
Go and ruin it. Fantastic. Is that... That's conspiracy. That's conspiracy, isn't it? Although, I don't advise that, but obviously, if you want to do it, I can't stop you from doing it.
Okay, no problem.
I've brought my assistant producer into the room, Adam, who I believe you spoke to already.
Yes,
in real life, because Adam's all up to speed on Game of Thrones, and I've never seen it.
Well, to tell you the truth, until I
can you not? Have you not been on it yet? You can't talk about it, can you?
It's not
started. No, I can't get any spoilers.
Oh, fine. Yeah, fuck it. It doesn't matter, does it? All right, Adam. Can you do a spoiler-free interview?
Oh, I just want to ask Tamer, how has it been, working from, because now they're completely off the books, aren't they? This series, series 6, is completely, it's gone off script. There's no input from...
It's not off script.
Not off script, you know what I mean?
No, they've passed the writer. The writer
that's it.
Overtaken the writer. I hear that the writer's poorly, so... I don't know what's happening with season 7. There's going to be a season 7, but there's talk of being a season 7, and they're bringing the zombie element into it.
But, I'll write it.
You're right, I'd write it.
Right, here's what happens. Right. Tam has got, it's like a sword, but it's actually a laser sword.
Yeah, that works.
Right.
A lightsaber.
Good, let's call it that. And...
Well, a lightsaber.
What happens with your, what did you say, lightsaber, did you say?
What happens with does it work?
Your lightsaber. You got a lightsaber, right? That gets given to you because
let's call it a
Tamsaber. Tamsaber, yeah, that's fine. And it was when it's given to you, you find out it was your father's before you. Right?
Yeah.
Given to you by like a creepy old man.
Yeah.
That you just meet in the street, essentially.
Yeah.
And you go back his house, which you shouldn't really do, but you do that.
Does he breathe heavy?
He can. However you want, because you're directing this as well, so however you want to direct it, you're cool, mate.
We've got a heavy breathing dad.
Yeah. No, it's not your dad. He's not your dad. He gave you this lightsaber and said it was your dad's.
Oh, he said it was my dad's, okay.
Yeah, and then basically you just
have. Could it be my uncle then?
Well, potentially it could be a sort of an uncle.
Okay, so we got a dead dad, an uncle, a Tamsaver, and we're in the street.
Well, here's the thing.
I'm feeling.
It turns out that your dad isn't dead at all.
Oh, he comes back from the dead as a zombie.
No. He's always been alive, but he's been rebuilt.
Wow.
And you think he's your mortal enemy, but then you realise you could just that there's probably some good in him.
Is this Adam I'm speaking to?
No, this is Ray. And then you have a fight with him, and then he throws the Emperor into a pit. I didn't mention the Emperor, but there's an Emperor as well.
One minute, mate. Hey, can you call 999? We need to get a straitjacket on this kid.
No, I'm fine. I'm doing all right.
At the back door.
That's what they say in all the best meetings, mate. They said that to J.K. Rowling when she turned up with her book.
Well, you know what? I did it. Actually, got dinged a few times. You know
what I mean? She got whatted?
She got dinged.
Dinged.
Front of the curve. Yeah, dinged.
Don't know what that means.
Not for us, sweetheart. Do one, will you?
So, have you got any other questions, Adam?
Oh, he can't really say much, can he?
But have you got any spoiler-free questions?
I've got to tell you, I couldn't give you a spoiler if I wanted to. They don't give you no scripts. Mm. They give you no storylines. They give you nothing. They give you a page. They give you that horrid Dothraki language stuff, because I played one of the Dothraki leaders, and it was so hard to learn. They give you 4 or 5 pages of that Dothraki dialogue and say crack on, and then you turn up on set, that's your whack. But I will tell you, I mean, for all the Game of Thrones fans, each lead character, which I do know, their storyline is going to be epic.
How do you find guarding spoilers? Because even though you might not have big spoilers about the actual series, are you really
rubbish? I'm rubbish. So if there was a spoiler to be given, I'm the one that's going to give it. I've had more lawsuits than George Spencer's called gold.
Right.
I'm telling you, honestly, I am rubbish. So thank God they don't tell you anything.
Well, but you. I don't want you to say them, but you definitely will know spoilers because you are in some scenes. So I work on Red Dwarf. And I find it incredibly, because I now know what happens in the next 2 series of Red Dwarf because we've filmed them. They're all filmed. Okay. So I now know all of that.
Yeah.
And it's so, and I know all the guest stars, and I know, you know, everyone who's been in it, and all of that is a secret. It's a massive secret.
Well, there was five of us, right?
Right.
There was 5 Dothraki leaders with the Dragon Prince. And all I can tell you is Khaleesi, our sweet little Khaleesi. And beautiful she is. They all got called back to die, and I didn't.
That's a spoiler, isn't it?
That's a spoiler.
I'm sure that's a spoiler.
Yeah. Well, it's just a spoiler as it can get.
Right. Okay.
You
know, okay.
That's all I got for you, baby. I'm sorry.
So what? But you have just given the spoiler that you didn't die as well, unless you are doing a double bluff, which.
Well, you know what? You know, it could be a double bluff.
Could be.
You know, they don't tell anything. They go, "What's happening? You know, losing. We're not telling you.
Yeah.
If Tamar's dead, we're not telling you. If he dies, we can see John. We might bring him back and kill him. They don't tell you anything. But I know the other 4 went back and died.
I mean,
so there you go. It's one of them. Dun, dun, dun.
I've never seen it.
Tamar's going to come back as a Dothraki leader for season 7 and marry the Dragon Princess.
I mean, you're intriguing the other people in the studio.
Oh,
but
yeah. Well, that'd be a
dream. I won't commit to it as a program.
We love it.
Yeah.
We love Game of Thrones,
yeah.
Adam and I.
Yeah, Game of Thrones is great. Yeah. I never watched it until I got called on to the show.
Mm.
And I sat there and literally watched the whole lot. I was there for like 4 days, glued to the screen.
It's so good. And Ian McShane's brilliant. In this series as well, isn't he?
Ian, Ian is, yeah. Yeah, Ian's in this, Ian's in 6 as well.
And Jon Snow's back this series, isn't he?
Well, I don't know.
Oh,
everyone's
asking that question.
I'm in it.
I'm getting asked that question.
I know, everyone's asked that question about him.
No, dead. Do you know what? I mean, look, there was even talk of Sean Bean's character.
Yeah, I heard that.
Yeah,
But yeah. He's not. Well, I think he's
back.
The
element. I mean, look, it would be a travesty if that show stopped, wouldn't it?
Mm.
I mean, it's brilliant. I mean, look how ballsy they are. The first ever show kills off their leading man in the first series. Where'd you go from there? The language, you know.
The Red Wedding.
The explicit scene.
I mean, there's no reason for me to watch it now, is there?
Literally, the dialogue, I mean, they use the C word.
Mm.
The what?
You know what I mean? The C word.
Good heavens.
Yeah, good heavens. I mean, I find that word.
Well, I use that about three times a week on this show, but I don't get any fucking ratings.
That's what I'm saying. Have you used the C word on that show? Well,
yeah.
The C word.
I can use it for one. Are we talking about the same one? What one do you think? What one do you mean?
See you next Tuesday.
Cunt.
You said it.
I know.
You're my hero.
Thank you.
You are my hero.
Yeah, I know. I'm brilliant, aren't I?
You dropped the C-bomb. I'm loving you. Yeah, I want a job on your show.
Bring it off, Com.
Can I? I really want to say it.
You can say it.
I can't because I've got my manager sitting next to me.
Oh, yeah.
And I'll kill you.
All right, well, how about this? How about just look right at your manager and say it? I'm sure you...
Can I look at him and say it?
Look right at him and say it.
See you, soppy little cunt.
There we go, there we go.
Do one.
Yeah.
Oh, that felt so good.
I know, right?
He just said, coming from you.
Every performer in the world wants to do that to the manager. Everyone wants to do that. Good on you.
I mean, listen, managers, what are they? They're no different than pimps, are they? They send you out the world and take 10% of them. No,
fucking hell, I dream of 10%.
Is that what you pay more?
Yeah.
You know what I did? Do what I did. I bought the agency that represents me. So I actually take commission off of other actors.
I'm not sure I can quite afford to buy the agency I'm with.
$25,000, that's all it cost me. Nothing.
Yeah, I don't think
that was in trouble and I bailed them out.
I think my one's worth a bit
come
more than $25,000.
Come over, we'll represent you.
All right. That was easy done, wasn't it?
10%. Listen, 10%. Come over to us. I'll represent you for 10%.
Okay. Well, Adam's done a bit of the interview. I've done a bit of the interview. The only person that's not so far is Nat. So Nat's going to speak to you now about the charity match at Dagenham and Redbridge.
Yes.
Please.
So that's on the Sunday, the 8th of May, isn't it? At Dagenham and Redbridge Football Club.
It is. Yeah. I'm captain in a celebrity side.
Okay. Who's on the team with you?
Mazza, Jason Mazza.
He had no idea.
Ashley Waters. Yeah.
Is there Tasha? I know that a lot of the girls are coming. Daniela Westwood's coming down. Bianca Gascoigne, Lisa Nash. We got quite a few ex-pros down there. I'm trying to get hold of Dyer, but he's playing hard to get.
Oh, okay.
He's throwing that one in the mix. I'm taking Doc Cotton out for tea. I can't make it.
You've got Gogglebox, haven't you? Sandy and Sandra from Gogglebox. Oh, I love them.
We have. We've got, I think we've got the Wheelstone Raider coming down.
Okay.
He's doing an appearance. Wayne Lineker's refereeing the game.
Oh.
There's a lot more, and I'm sorry if I've missed anyone out. But I'm captain in the side for my sins. It's the first game I've played in 18 months. I had a cartilage operation.
Yeah.
When I was filming, I got kicked by a horse. But look, it's for a children's hospice. It's a great cause. Come down, everyone, please.
Right, it's once in a blue moon, isn't it? Yeah.
Once, in a blue moon. Please come down. Dagenham and Redbridge on the 8th. Come and meet us. Come and have some fun and support a fantastic course.
Well, we'll
a little kiddie.
We'll tweet out the link because I was to say you're not allowed to sell tickets on the door. Apparently, you've got to buy them in advance. But we'll put the link.
Who said that? Listen, just turn up.
Oh, okay.
We'll work it out. Turn up. We'll get someone on the door. We'll have a bucket there or something. You know what I mean? You put some money in a bucket. Just turn up. If you're finding it difficult to buy tickets in advance or whatever, honestly, turn up. I'll be at the door and I'll make sure everyone gets it.
Okay. Also, can we just mention the film that you're in with Christian Bale and Oscar Isaac, The Promise, isn't it? What can you say about that?
It's Oscar Isaac, Christian Bale, Jean Reno, and a whole host of amazing actors.
I know Oscar Isaac's driver.
You do?
Yeah.
Oh,
it's good, isn't it?
Driving.
It's a good story, isn't it?
I like Oscar Isaac's driver. What's his name? We'll give him a shout.
I can't remember his name. I was dreading you saying that.
Well,
I do know because he was always there because where Red Dwarf's filmed is where Star Wars is being filmed. So there was like, you know.
So you got to say hello. Any chance of a photo with Oscar?
No. Oh, no, I didn't. No, I wouldn't go near it. I wouldn't go near meeting any of the cast. But I saw Mark Hamill, though.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. I saw Mark Hamill driving a car himself, by the way. It was like a classic sports car.
Yeah, why would he let anyone drive a classic sports car?
He was driving, because everyone else was being driven, but he was driving himself. And he drove out, And I wasn't sure if it was Mark Hamill. And then I went into the offices at Red Dwarf and I said, I think I've just seen Mark Hamill. I was quite excited about it. And then I went, but I wasn't sure. And then Mark Hamill tweeted later that day that he had seen me. No, he didn't say that. He tweeted later that day. He said later that day that about everyone was commenting about the black hat he'd been wearing. Then he put a picture of himself. And I went, yeah, that was definitely him then. Because he had that black hat on.
Next time, you've got to stop these people and say hello. Honestly, we're not animals.
I can't run in front of a car, mate.
Yeah, you can. Of course you can. He's not going to run you over. Mind you, in a classic car, I might struggle to stop. Mm. Be careful. Keep your distance.
Okay? Yeah, no, I'm quite happy not meeting my heroes, really, to be honest with you.
All right, but, well, you met me.
We've sort of met a bit on the phone.
And I've
signed with your agency. So that was...
And you have. You've signed with me.
Doing all right for myself, aren't I?
Yeah, that's management.
Yeah, can't wait, mate. Tam, thanks for joining us. We really, really appreciate it. And good luck with your charity match and all the rest of it and with Game of Thrones. And
thank you, my lovely.
Again soon. When you're back in London, come in by all means whenever you want.
I'd love to see you again. I've been on the show before. I'll pop in again and see you guys.
All right,
thanks,
dude.
Thanks for your time as well.
No, pleasure, mate. Pleasure. Thank you. Bye bye. Cheers, Tam. Bye. Oh, that's the wrong fucking button. That's the wrong button. That was London Boys Chinese Radio.
I like that. I
hated it.
Do you remember the London Boys?
Yeah. Did they die?
I think they did
one
die in
died.
An accident, yeah.
Did they both die?
I'm pretty sure they both did.
Well, either way, I don't wish them dead. And we're very sad that the London Boys have died.
We didn't predict it either.
No. Not speak ill of the dead, but I hated that song. Whose choice was it?
It was for Kev Sim.
Because it's all request. All the music is request.
Yeah.
At the moment. I'm choosing none of this music at all. So Kev Sim, bad choice.
They both died.
What are you doing? They both died.
I was just checking that was 100%
in the same
correct.
Accident.
It was Edem and Dennis. They both lost their lives in the car when they were travelling. Was hit by a drunk driver in the Eastern Alps, Austria, on 21st of January 1996. Edem's wife was also killed in the accident. So that's...
Could you have said that any more joyfully?
No, it wasn't joyfully.
Oh, his wife was killed as well. Ooh.
Oh no.
Good story.
It's horrible. I just was.
Well, yeah, that's horrible. That is horrible. Absolutely horrible. And I'm sad that I'm not sad because I don't know them. But you know, but that's a sad thing.
What did you not like about that?
I thought it was dire.
Okay. Well, if you were to
the
rate
worst
it,
sort of like 80s pop is what it sounded like.
Do you not like a bit of 80s?
No,
pop?
No, not on any level.
Okay. Well, then you wouldn't like that.
Although I say not on any level, that's a one top. If I've got to give a number,
yeah, we're giving it a number.
Well, then it's a one. Then
I'll give it a five.
The lowest I can possibly give it. I say I don't like any 80s pop, but I think it was Andy Smart that asked for this. I'm going to play it straight away.
Okay.
Get ready for this. I like this.
Grey Peacock on FUBAR Radio.
F-111 ZZ Sputnik. I always get the impression with ZZ Sputnik that they were just pissing themselves all the time. They'd have made that and then gone, put some more sound effects on it.
Because it doesn't sound 80s
as a
enough.
Joke.
One of Generation X, I was just doing a bit of research on ZZ Sputnik,
yeah.
Joins this band, and they had Billy Idol in it for Generation X, didn't they? It wasn't Billy Idol, it was Tony from Generation X that joined ZZ Sputnik.
Don't know what you're even on
Music
about.
Music facts.
Don't know what you're on about.
And Stock Aitken and Waterman produced one of their songs called Success. Yeah. Not sure if it was.
Yeah, no, it definitely wasn't. They were quite a flop, ZZ Sputnik, but they had a very striking image, and They probably shouldn't have been a flop, but they just were. It was just timed badly.
Did they look quite sort of punky?
Massive hair, and they had stockings over his face and all that sort of shit.
Well, that song, I've heard a lot worse songs than that from the 80s.
Like I said, they didn't deserve to be a flop, but they were. That was for Andy Smart.
Yeah.
Andy also asked for an Elvis Costello song for Andrea.
Which one?
I can't remember. It's not written on here for some reason.
Okay.
I have a feeling it might have been Alison, weirdly.
I think that's probably...
Or Good Year for the Roses it could have been as well.
I think we've got both of those.
Well, either way, I don't want to play Elvis Costello because I went off in...
Why?
I saw him live and it was fucking awful.
How long ago was that?
Not that long ago, a few years ago. Albert Hall.
When you go and see him live, what kind of period it was do you
awful.
Want to see him, though?
I don't care. But he was doing his wheel. He does a wheel.
Oh, yeah.
Where he spins a wheel. Fucking awful. Terrible.
What, as in his vocally terrible? Or?
Vocally terrible, musically terrible. Acoustics in the Albert Hall is out of his control, but that was dreadful as well. All too loud. Him wandering about, picking girls out of the audience to sing to. Really uncomfortable. I didn't like it at all.
Oh.
And I was a big fan of Costello. I went right off him. Same thing happened with They Might Be Giants when I saw them live. Just went right off him.
Because they weren't very good live?
They were fine, but they were just not playing the gig right.
Okay.
is what they did wrong. They got everyone standing up and it was a seated venue and it was just, yeah.
You hated it.
No.
I don't think I've ever seen Elvis Costello live. I would like to, but now maybe I don't.
You can, but I'm not coming.
Okay.
So, Andy Smart. Do you know who Andy Smart is?
I do not.
Andy Smart is... I get quite a thrill from Andy Smart.
Okay.
It's a good quote, isn't it? Because he regularly, like, retweets stuff. And he came to one of my Edinburgh shows once. He was sat at the front. And as I was doing the show, I was like, I'm sure that's Andy Smart sat in the front. And I've met him a few times and get on with him. But I don't know him particularly well at all.
Hmm.
But it's kind of like I'm a bit in awe of him, really. And he acts a bit sort of fannish to me.
Okay.
Did you just hear fan and then you thought it was going to be fanny?
No, I just wasn't even going through my head at all, no.
No, I don't mean like fanboyish, but he does like support my stuff.
Yes.
Quite a lot, which not many comics do, and he does.
Can I Google Andy Smart?
Andy Smart is one of the Comedy Store players.
Right.
I'd argue him and probably Steve Frost, probably the best two in there. Although Richard Franch is very good as well. They're all very good. But we should get Andy in one day.
Okay.
I like him a lot.
We'll make master improviser. Adam's making a note of that as we speak.
Andy Smart,
Andon.
He's on Twitter. You'll find him on Twitter. He's not listening, is he?
He's not listening, no.
Adam's assistant producer.
Who did I want you to book?
Who are we asking you to book, Adam?
Just ask you to get someone...
Andy who, though? So, what, you were going to just go run with that, were you? Andy Morris? No, incorrect.
Andy Murray?
This is really important, this live meeting now.
Hmm.
You can't just nod when you've not even heard the name and then try and blag it. Who did we ask you to book? Andy. What, who was it? Who are we talking about? Your job depends on this, mate. Come on, in my earphones, let's hear it. Can't remember. He can't remember. Yeah, he agreed.
Well, he said, I think he's going to try and book him. It's going to be tricky.
Well, he can't book him.
A random Andy, yeah. Isn't it? Andy.
I want a specific Andy, yeah. By the way. Not just an Andy. Can't be someone from Grindr. It's got to be... I mean, Andy Smart might be on Grindr. I don't know.
Oh, I told Adam the other night. I watched a documentary called Chemsex.
Okay.
Which Adam's keen to see, actually.
C-A-H-E-M.
C-H-E-M, yeah. Okay. Chemical sex. And... I was just texting him during it, like, I don't want you to go on Grindr anymore, please, Adam. I don't want you to see any.
Why? What's it about?
It's about kind of a group of men who take, like, a number of different drugs.
Right.
And then it increases their sexual feelings. But there's kind of parties where...
Why are you being cagey about
it?
Just speak what it was.
I'm trying to say, like, MCAT, various things like that, methadrone and...
Methadrone?
K, yes.
Okay. Did they smoke some K?
They didn't smoke it. Some of them injected it.
Okay.
And then they'd go around and have such things.
A line of E.
Bareback parties.
Oh, okay.
And it was kind of graphic in the documentary that you'd see. You know, you did see people injecting themselves and you did see sex. And then you saw this one guy who had HIV and at one point was just kind of, I don't really care. I'm in a bad place in my life where I'm going to go to a bareback party or I'm going to just do this and risk, you know, my life.
Well, he's not risking his life,
no,
is he?
But other
he's
people
he's
there,
putting other people in danger.
But other people that go to a party like that are obviously knowing that they're going fully into it and
but there are people who do have no issue with... I'm sure we spoke about this before, about POS guys. Do you know about this, Adam? Because Adam's a gay man. In fact, come in for a second.
Yeah.
Although I'm saying come in, he might not be able to explain it anyway. But you might know the background of that, what that is as a thing. What's the deal with that? What's the deal? So gay men who would have it as a thing that they go with POS guys... So HIV positive people, do you know what the thinking is behind that?
No.
Okay, fine.
I honestly don't understand. I can't understand why they would want to.
Are they wanting to get infected with HIV?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, is the logic behind that that they would then basically be freed up, if you like? So there'd be no more worrying about getting HIV because you'd have HIV, and you can live comfortably with HIV, relatively comfortably with HIV now.
Mm.
Very comfortable.
Yeah, totally. That's true. I just didn't want to promote it as an idea. But you know what I mean? You can. Yeah. It's not the death sentence it once was.
No.
So is it that? Do you think it's that? So that people can just then go back to doing what they want?
But then doesn't... See, the thing is with that, it's then, well, then they're going to go off and have unprotected sex with other people.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I think that's just... I think it's just disgusting.
Oh, yeah, it's a dick move, but is that their rationale?
It probably is.
Yeah. I'm sure that applies to heterosexual people as well. I'm sure there's people in the same boat.
Yeah, I mean, I find it quite worrying that, especially younger people nowadays, who speak to, are like, oh, I don't use condoms. Just don't use them at all when people... And it's not like they're going out with someone for a period of time and then they say, I'm going to choose to stop using condoms now because I'm with this one person. It's I've slept with a couple of people. Oh, we didn't use a condom. But they seem like a nice person, so they probably haven't got anything.
Who are you talking about?
Just various people that I've
kind of
spoken to.
Seems quite specific. Is it
him? No, it's not him. No, for a friend that I saw the other day, he was a guy who was just like, I just hate condoms and the girls I sleep with are really nice. I'm like, well, they're cool. Because HIV doesn't just target or any other chlamydia or anything else, horrible people.
But are they complicit within that? Are they agreeing to that as well? Or are they pressurised into that?
The women or the
women?
No, not at all. But I don't understand. It'll be absolutely terrifying to me to think about going, whether it's a one night stand or a guy that I've been seeing a few times, and just not.
Let's keep it within the realms of possibility.
Yeah, a one night stand. Imagine not using a condom on a one night. It just would be terrifying to even consider it. It'd be like, it's not happening.
I think I have on occasion.
Have you?
In my life.
You'd go and get a checkup afterwards, though, wouldn't you?
I know that I'm all right in terms of I had lots of blood tests and stuff for other things. Okay. And someone said to me, oh, they don't check for that then. I said, no, I had one that checked for fucking everything. But it's. But yeah, I think sometimes you risk it. Sometimes. Not saying you should. I'm saying that there are certain... Every situation is different, isn't it?
Yeah.
So there have been situations where afterwards you think about, holiness has gone. Yeah. And you're like, fuck me, what was that about?
What was I thinking, yeah.
You get caught up in the...
In the moment.
Yeah,
moment.
Yeah.
I get that, but I'd be freaking out so much afterwards.
But I'm more the sort who would be, at the time, thinking, oh, I shouldn't... And then you do. So I would say in that situation, I'd then put the blame on the other person in my head.
Right.
I'd think, no, she was like going for it. And it was like, we didn't take a moment.
Well, what would you think then?
It isn't their fault, but that's how I would justify it in my own head to me.
All right, what if she had condoms then? Would you think like, oh, why's she got condoms on her? Because I would take condoms myself.
I think she's a very smart girl.
Yeah.
Let's get to specifics.
Thanks, Adam.
If you're asking me, what would I think about you having condoms?
No.
Then yes, I would say, why has she got condoms?
No, you know what I mean. Like,
in case a mate needs one.
I mean, if a woman.
I don't believe anyone gives a shit about that anymore.
But having condoms?
Yeah, anyone would judge someone on that.
I really don't. No, I don't. I totally agree.
And if there is a small minority of people that would still hold on to that then they're going to be people that are racist as well. They're going to be people who, fucking
homophobic, sexist. Oh, she's obviously a slut because she's got condoms.
I don't think anyone right-minded would give a second thought to that even.
No.
I really don't.
Well, Adam, do you know about these bareback parties that I was saw in this documentary?
Know them. I run them.
Yeah, it's my party.
No, I've never been to one.
But the aim of that is that also to... What are you going there for?
Oh, he's getting horny now. Yeah. Look at him, he's crossed his legs.
Do you want a condom, Adam?
Come on, Adam, tell us about your bareback parties.
So is it
Randy, Adam, look how Randy is getting now. He's got all red and Randy.
Isn't that just like... You were talking about something else.
It's just
an orgy,
isn't it?
It's an orgy.
But you was also talking about... The Bukkake. No, that's the car. That's the car.
No, she was texting me about Bukkake.
I didn't know what it meant. And so I was texting both Adam and my other friend who was kind of jet lagged in Japan. And he said, I was telling him about this documentary. And he said, oh, well, do you know about Bukkake parties? And I said, I've got no idea. I have no idea what they mean. So I Googled it. Then I spent most of the evening talking to people about Bukkake parties. Yeah. I mentioned it to you. I texted Michael.
And why were you obsessing about it?
Because I didn't know that existed.
Well, explain
what it is.
It could be one person. It's not a big party. It could just be Bukkake.
Bukkake, is it called?
Yeah.
Bukkake. Okay. Yeah. Careful
when you Google it because you have to get the right amount of K's in the right places. That's true.
So it's a man or a woman. It's one person basically who's there, and then there are a group of men. Who essentially ejaculate all
doesn't
over that
I mean,
person.
It doesn't have to be a group. I mean, by letter of the law, one person coming on you is Bukkake.
Oh, really? Yeah, okay,
yeah,
is it?
It is.
Okay. But the interview that I was reading with
As much as they can manage.
She said, I don't really like to
I don't
wear...
think the object of the game is, if it's like just two blokes go, you've got to cover this girl. How many times do we have to do this?
I can't do this. She said that her profession was a Bukkake party girl. Mm. And that's kind of what she does. She goes around different and she has these parties. But she said, I don't really wear a lot of makeup or expensive makeup. I'll get my hair done till afterwards because it just gets all ruined with when I'm covered with sperm.
Isn't that part of the attraction of it for people?
Oh, she likes it, yeah.
No. I mean, oh, part of the attraction is sort of ruining somebody.
There are a couple of bits from her interview.
As it were. No, it is. It is. That's the thing. It's
well,
like, you know, taking
can we find it?
An attractive person, male or female, and just sort of decorating him.
In the interview, they said, your skin is very soft. She said, this is directly, yeah, that's the cum. Bukkake is really good for your skin.
Utter nonsense.
People always say how soft my skin is, especially my boobs and my face.
Utter nonsense.
Okay.
Complete urban legend. Complete myth.
That sperm is good for your face.
Utter nonsense. Only in terms of it is like hydrating properties to it. That's it. That's
okay.
it. It's not all this stuff about, oh, it's got loads of protein in it, does this, this. No, it doesn't.
So, I thought
no more
point.
Than E45 cream does. It's not. Oh. It's just...
Well, that was the point where I thought...
It's just a gelatinous liquid.
Okay. That was the point where I thought, that sounds quite interesting.
Yeah.
I went off it again when I read this.
Adam, can I say, by the way, Adam looked at me then suspiciously when I said that, as if he didn't agree with me, but he didn't say anything.
Oh, do you think it is good for your
friend? I think we've had this discussion before.
Let's have it again. Because I can't remember it, so the listener wouldn't.
So, and I think I can't remember what the outcome of the conversation was. Oh, no, I'll tell you what it was about. Does it have any calories now? Oh,
yeah, okay, yeah, so that's it, so that, that's that again, and that's another counter-argument, which is just a myth that has come up. And that's to argue against it. Well, it's full of calories. No, it's not. It's nonsense.
So it's not full of calories?
It's spunk now. It's not full of anything other than spunk.
Okay.
That's all it is.
Yeah, but what's in it? Like breast milk, for instance, would have some calories.
There's no breast milk in it.
No, I know that. I know there's no tadpoles. Breast milk in it.
She's full of tadpoles now.
Well, this is when I went off.
She's a bit of juice with tadpoles in it. You can't see the tadpoles, by the way.
Okay.
So don't stare at it.
She said there was a mistake with a booking once. This is where I was like,
who's this?
This is the lady.
What's her name?
I don't think it was her real name in the article. I think it was Sarah.
All right, fine.
In fact, Sarah Jane.
Wait, you're trying to book her?
I'm trying to, yeah.
You're trying to Bukkake her.
There was a mistake with the booking once. I turned up and they had a hockey stick with a condom on it. They wanted to stick it up my bum. I said no and they were fine about it. At that point, I was like, this is horrible.
She'd have been brilliant on Parkinson, wouldn't she? So you read that and thought, let's get her as a guest. Anecdotes like that.
I found the whole thing quite interesting because I'd never heard of it before.
I said no and it was fine.
I mean, at least they weren't protecting.
The end of the story.
I don't want a hockey stick. But what's interesting is they're so careful. Why did you
slow down? You're speaking.
Why would
speaking
you put
far
a
too
condom
fast.
On a hockey stick?
Splinters.
Oh, I suppose. Yeah. I mean, I was just thinking, it's a hockey stick. You don't put one on your penis, but you would do on a hockey stick.
I think a lot of people, when they insert things that aren't designed sex toys, will often use a condom to do that.
Yeah.
Like if they're using fruit or whatever, they might use a condom
horrible.
On it.
I would say no to that. I'm glad
well, no
she
one's saying. Well, she did as well. There's no
she
one's,
did say no.
No
so
one's
I mean,
saying you've got to. No.
No. I know. I definitely won't entertain
that,
a hockey
that's
stick.
The thinking behind it.
Yeah. What do you think about that?
What's the weirdest thing you've put inside yourself, Adam? There's going to be a brilliant answer to this by the look on his face.
Oh.
What's the weirdest thing you put inside yourself?
Do I really have to say?
You don't have to.
I
say.
I mean, you always can make things up.
I'd rather you did, but you don't have to. I mean, now that we know that there is something...
Something, it's definitely something.
Now I'm intrigued. Now I want to know.
I am too. What is it?
Mine would just be like a dildo or something. I've done that plenty of times. Nothing too big that I can't handle it. I actually can't handle it.
I have had like one of them little bullets up me bum.
Yeah, they're good, eh? But do you not worry with them, though? Have you had this? I mean, sorry, this is boy talk.
Okay.
What's the logic behind this? You know when you have them bullet things, the vibrating ones, right, in your bottom?
In your bot.
Yeah. And see, the problem I've got with that is that they're on like quite a thin wire, electrical wire.
Yeah.
And like getting them out, you know, you have to be careful you don't push it all the way in because you'd be fucked then. You don't want to poo something out, do you? But that's essentially what you would have to do.
Yeah.
Right. So they vibrate quite vigorously.
Yeah.
But then after... Right, so Nat, have you ever done this?
I'm just Googling. What's it called? An anal bullet?
No, don't worry about that. Just listen to the story for now. Have you done this, Nat?
What?
What we're talking about.
Put a bullet in a vibrating bullet in the bottom?
Yes.
I have not done that, no.
Fine, well then listen.
Okay.
So, Adam, tell Nat what happens for about a minute and a half, maybe 2 minutes, after you've taken it out.
Well, it just still feels like it's vibrating.
Does it?
Just carries on. Without it in there.
Yeah.
Oh wow.
It just carries on.
Is that nice or is that just weird?
It's weird.
It's weird, but it's not unpleasant. Yeah. But it's also an odd feeling, and it is like, I think it's muscle memory is what I think it is. I think your muscles in your arse have got so used to dealing with it that they carry on doing whatever their reaction is to the bullet. They carry on doing that when it's gone.
First time I had it up there, I couldn't last like a minute.
Really?
I felt so alien to me. I thought, no, get it out.
And then I went again.
I was like, okay, let's try that again.
Completely different for me. I was like, I've discovered the meaning of life.
Right. When you said,
like, I can't believe I've gone this long without doing this.
When you said you wouldn't last a minute, did you mean before you had an orgasm? No, I just didn't like it.
Oh, okay,
right.
I just didn't like the sensation. This is too alien to me.
Fucking baby.
But you probably tried it again since.
Yeah, no, I went it again.
It's ages since I've done anything like that.
How long was it in... Ages. How long can you keep
it
in your bottoms?
Do you want to do it
as a competition?
Yeah, let's see. I can't want
to
start
the clock. Have you heard of these ones that you can give to your partner?
Yeah.
And it's an app.
Remotely, yeah.
And you can just...
They have those in Ann Summers now, Felicity Egg. And I've been told...
Yeah, about the fucking 500 quid in Ann Summers.
Probably. And you can be kind of remote control, remoting into your partner, whoever it is, and like choosing when you want to set off.
That's what Adam was saying.
Just imagine if he was on the radio and you had like just someone...
Right. There's an idea.
Mm-hmm.
Let's do that one, Cher.
Well, all of us.
We can all do it. Yeah, by all means. By all means, we'll all do it.
Do we control each other's?
I'm not sure how safe it would be to have one in for 2 hours.
No, let's just do 30 minutes.
I think it'd be fine for you.
Why?
Nat.
Well, I'm not putting it in my bum, though.
You don't have to.
Okay.
So where's it going? In my bag. Where you having it? So if we... What we'll do... So get onto this. Julia, if you can hear this, get onto this. Get in touch with Ann Summers. Play them off against each other. Ann Summers and Thingy.
Oh, they called?
Just had a blank on the name.
Oh.
The postage sex toys service.
Not Agent Provocateur.
Really famous.
Oh.
They have a purple sticker on the boxes. They're supposed to be anonymous boxes, but they've always got a purple sticker on them.
Oh, what is it? What's
Love Honey.
That's the one, yeah. We
got
know
them.
That.
Got
we
them in my head.
From there, yeah.
Yeah. Excuse me. So, play Love Honey and Ann Summers off against each other. Or other sex shops. Acquire us one of these things for a lady. It's going to be for a lady.
Mm-hmm.
And Nat's going to wear it for a chunk of the show, and I'm going to be in charge of it. I'm going to be in charge of the thing.
But then I have to do the same for you, and Adam has to get involved somehow as well.
Or will, depending on.
It depends on who's...
All right, well, then you can do it with someone else.
Yeah, but then someone has to control you as well.
Without being overly graphic, I'm not up to it at the moment.
Oh, having a vibration.
Well, I can have a vibration.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't... I'm not up to it at the moment.
Maybe I'm not.
I'm out of practice.
Oh, well, I've not had a vibrating egg.
Adam knows what I mean at the moment. But I'm out of practice with it, so it would be too difficult for me to do it at the moment.
Why don't we have a few training weeks?
You pay me a lot, but not enough for that.
That's not a horrible thing,
I'm not
thing,
coming
is it?
In for an extra day to have my arse stretched.
Oh, do you have to?
I feel like I'm...
Sorry,
I feel like
they're not that big, though.
No, I know they're not, but I'm way out of practice. I reckon it's been at least over a year
since
anything's been
in
my arse.
I've not tried one at all, so I'm not trying.
But you just said it doesn't need to be in your arse. You've got a purpose-built...
Right, okay.
...cavity for that.
Well, I don't know the kind of speed it's going to go at, or... You know,
that'll be part of the fun, is that okay. I'll be in control of it.
I'll be trying to
And I'll decide
out.
As and when.
Oh, God. Do you see anything going wrong with this?
Mate, they'll bring back the Sonys for this sort of thing. Yeah, give it a crack. That'd be funny.
Sure, okay, but then...
It'd be funny and interesting.
Why can't you just try it again, so that at least
try
it's fair...
What?
Whatever it's called, a bullet.
No, this wouldn't be a bullet though that you'd have. This
I'd
would
have
be
the
a,
egg.
Well, whatever
yeah,
it is.
That's what I mean. But
there'll be different sorts of ones. We'll get you the smallest possible one.
Okay. Yeah. Could you not try a bullet? Would you not take a bullet?
I'll take a bullet for you now.
You just don't understand what we're on about, because you've got no experience of it. You've got no clue what we're on about.
In the sphincter, no.
So you just trust me on it.
It's a different sensation.
I can't speak for a lady because I'm not one. I can only speak from the male point of view.
Mm.
And there's a prostate and all that sort of thing to take into consideration with a man. Mm. One girl once said to me that there's absolutely no benefit to anal sex for a girl at all.
Okay.
No, like, no benefit. There's no nice feeling of it or anything
not
like that. I've had other girls say to me the complete opposite
they
of
love
that.
It.
But, you know, so different strokes,
sure, yeah.
different folks.
Everyone likes something
what
different.
I'm saying to you is, it would be interesting on the show for just even if just 10 minutes, for you to have something attached to your body or within your body.
Does it have to be inside of my body?
I don't know, Nat. We'll see what they send us.
Okay, all right.
And for me or Adam to be in charge of controlling it.
Okay. Fine, all right.
Fine,
what
was that?
I know, I'm going to tweet this out.
What? To Love Funny? To Love Funny and Anne Summers?
No, just tweet it generally. Has anyone got anything we can put in Nat's Funny?
No, don't do that, Adam. Don't do that.
Just put anything in big letters. Has anyone got anything we can put in Nat's Funny? We're doing a pre-record.
Yeah. Desperate.
I'd give it a go, but I just know that I'm out of practice and I don't want to break myself open.
But when you say you're out of practice, how much practice do you need to get into practice?
Well, no,
we
don't need to get into practice. It's not something that I've been doing in recent times.
But then if I have not done it...
all manner of different reasons, but it's not...
Adam, when's the last time you tried a bullet?
No, do you know what? It's been over 2 years.
But the question is as well, when was the last time you had something in your ass? Is the question.
Okay.
That wasn't coming out of it.
That's very true, yeah.
That's the question.
Okay.
So for me, it's been a while. But I'm not averse to it.
No.
But, you know, I'm also, you know, occasionally prone to fissures and things like that.
Oh, right, yeah.
So that's the only thing. That's the only crying off I would do. Because it's horrible, that. Have you ever had a fissure in your ass?
No.
Have you? No.
A fissure?
It's like a little cut.
Oh, no.
It can happen if you're constipated or if you do a very big poo.
Yeah.
It's very, very common. Yeah. Hugely common, but very painful.
How does it take to heal? Is it a while?
A few weeks. Yeah.
Like a hemorrhoid? For that time.
Though. No. But although hemorrhoids can cause it, it can be sometimes like a split hemorrhoid or whatever.
Okay.
It's a good show, isn't it? Oh, you're in your dinner. but it can, it can. So that can make you more prone to brain, but it's not. That's not the experience I've had with it. Is that it could just be like because you've not been to the toilet enough.
Yeah.
Or because you've been eating shit, so your poo is very hard. So you then got to have drinks to make your poo all soft. And the problem with it then is the poos you carry on doing, they break it open again.
Sure, yeah.
So it takes a while to heal. So you've got to just soften all your poo up.
You can buy a stool softener.
And
you can.
Yeah. I have a thing called Movicol. I have it in the house all the time. Quite expensive, but it's a drink, sachet drink, that I take as and when, if I feel like that's going to be an issue for me.
It's not a bad name. You know, there are products or stuff like that have such an obvious name, like Vagisil. Vagisil's
an awful name, but it does say all over the box for constipation. That all over the box,
yeah.
And there's no way of putting the box, so it doesn't say that. It says it on every panel. So mine is in a box above the downstairs toilet, and with a blind over it.
Fine, yeah.
So I have to put the blind up to get it out.
Anus.
Any place it'll go. There we go. She thought of another one.
Terrible product names.
Good chat. Well, let's see if we
let's see
if we can locate one.
Sexual health.
Something to shove in
part
Nat
of the show.
Yeah.
Shove in Nat. I don't know.
But you're up for it, yeah? Shove it in Nat. That's what we'll call the section.
No, we're not going to shove it in.
Nat shoves it in herself because I'm not putting it in.
No,
you'll have to put it in.
It's got to be a product from a sex shop.
Reputable.
It's not just going to be an apple or something.
Oh, no,
you know?
That's fine. That's fine.
Okay.
What about an apple with a vibrating bullet in it, though?
No.
Because these vibrating bullets we talk about often come in something else.
Mm-hmm.
And people will take them out of that toy to just use them on their
own. Oh, in a toy? Okay.
Yeah. I don't think they work in sex toys. I think they're just like a little extra.
All right, well, we'll see what.
And there have been several times in my life many years ago where I've abandoned the toy in favour of the bullet.
Okay.
That's true.
Well, we'll see. Would I like the bullet or the toy?
Yep. And if you just sometimes you can just put it on, right?
Yeah.
If you just put it like on the end of your penis,
yes,
sort of near there, on the back of it, on the banjo string, right?
The bullet.
And you can just like hold it there,
mm-hmm.
And then eventually, without doing anything, just make it come.
Okay.
Just come out. Come out without, and you're not doing anything.
No.
Just lying there, or standing there, or walking around.
Sounds fun for all the family.
Which is the longest one?
These ones down here.
I know, but I'm looking at something else.
Okay.
Sorry, my mind wandered then.
Yeah.
I think this is a great idea.
What things that we can put up ourselves?
Ray Peacock on FUBAR Radio.
Back, that was, what were they called again?
El DeBarge.
El DeBarge with Who's Johnny? For Raji James, that was apparently. Again, utter dog shit.
Oh, really?
Yeah, terrible, that.
What do you know about El Debarge? 80s?
No more than I want to know. And all I know at the moment is that they wrote that, or they sang that song. I don't even know they wrote it. That was dire.
It's catchy, though.
It's not catchy, Nat. It's not catchy unless you're 4 years old. That's not catchy. That's dreadful.
I mean, I wouldn't download it.
If I knew for a fact that when they'd left that recording studio, they went to the pub, I'd be even fucking crosser. They should have gone home with their heads down and sat at home with a fucking knife and a bottle of gin going, yeah. What have I done to art?
Yeah.
That's what should have happened.
I would,
if they were proud of that song, shame on them.
I want to know if they're a one-hit wonder or not, because I can't see them having another hit.
I can't see that that was a hit. But if it was, depressing as that is, that could be the case. That was dire.
You'd give that a one then. Probably not even a one, would you?
If I'm able to give zeros, I'll give a zero.
Yeah, you can give zero.
Oh, well, I want to change my other one as well then.
Okay, what was the other one? London Boys.
Yeah, that's a zero
that's
as well.
A zero.
God rest their souls, but that's a zero as well.
Okay.
Yeah.
He was just an American singer, El Debarge. Just one man. I thought it'd be a band.
Was he killed in a car crash?
He's still going, I believe. He's 54.
Right.
He's in Detroit.
Well, good for him.
Yeah.
But that was awful. That was almost certainly from the soundtrack of a film.
Was a hit. Who's Johnny? I can tell you.
What makes a hit, then?
So I've got here. It's a hit recorded, it says, according to Wikipedia. 1986.
Why?
It reached
Adam's just told me that Charlotte's gone.
Oh. It reached number 3 on the Billboard Hot 100.
She has as well. Has she gone because we were slagging off El Debarge? Imagine if she was doing that.
Imagine if she was that big fan of
El Debarge. She's got the arsehole because I've been slagging off El Debarge.
It went to number 3 on the Billboard chart and number 1 on the Hot R&B Singles chart. It was the only solo number 1 single Debarge released.
It's rubbish.
Weird Al Yankovic has done a parody for his album.
Bet that's better.
Yeah, called Here's Johnny, about Johnny Carson.
Okay. Charlotte?
Hello.
Hey, mate, you're right.
Yeah, you?
Yeah, we thought you'd hung up because I was slagging off El Debarge. We thought, what, imagine if it's like a brother or something.
No, it hung up. As soon as he transferred it, it just went dead.
Oh, did it? Okay. Sorry about that.
That's all right.
How are you?
I'm very well. How are you doing?
I'm all right. I see you're doing your sexy voice again.
It's my normal voice.
Even now, you've got a really sore throat.
No, this is my normal voice, I'm afraid. It's a husky thing.
Can I tell you what's been going on in the studio so far?
Sure.
We had a discussion not long ago between the three of us, myself, Natalie and Adam, who you spoke to Adam already, in private life. And it's what we've decided on is that we're going to get like one of those remote vibrating toys for Nat to wear during the show.
Yeah.
Are you familiar with these things?
Yeah.
As in, have you utilised them in your life?
I've not used them, no. But okay. The thing is, only because they can actually be hacked.
They can be hacked? Fucking amazing.
Oh.
Is there a code I could give out so listeners could do it?
I have no idea.
Oh, that'd be amazing.
I
was quite interested in it for my radio show last season.
Okay.
And then, when I went to the big Sexpo conference and I was talking to a few people there about it, and I thought, right, I'm definitely going to get one of these devices.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think it was only a couple of weeks ago, with everything that went out about the iPhone hack,
yeah,
you know, with the FBI and whatnot, that somebody just popped into the conversation. Oh, yeah, did you know that these vibrating bullets can be hacked as well? I was like, right, I'm not getting one.
But wouldn't they have to, like, specifically go out of their way to do it? So they'd have to know that you had it anyway.
The thing is, though, you've got trolls that are happy to do everything. I mean, I'm still on Facebook jail at the moment because, you know, I get trolled all the time.
Yeah.
I get photos reported for nudity when they're not.
Right.
And you know, it's people when people hack things, they don't do it for a purpose. They do it because they can.
Okay. Are they Bluetooth? Is that how they work?
No, it's under Wi-Fi. I think if they get whatever the IP address it's connected to, if they can hack that, then they can control most things.
I reckon.
It's like they can control remote, they can remote access your PC from your home.
Yeah,
if
yeah,
they want
yeah,
to.
Yeah. I reckon if we just get a cheapo one.
No,
listen, Nat, you don't know what you're on about. If we just get a cheapo one, that then it'd just be like, the control would be, it might even have a wire on it.
Yeah, probably. So we could just
put the wire over the desk.
I don't want to be electrocuted.
I had one of the remote controlled ones. So I had the egg with the remote control, and my the person I was seeing at the time.
Can we borrow it?
No. I went to the bar and he was sat there and he was playing with it. The problem was that there was some type of interference with the bass system, the bass speakers of the actual pub itself. So every time he pressed it to vibrate it, when the bass went off on the bass speaker, that just amplified it even more.
Oh, really?
It came to the point where I was probably doing the Congo or something to the bar, and everybody's just stood there doing nothing.
Right, okay.
Right, okay.
Well, I think it's a good idea.
Yeah.
Well, do it. Let me know. Give me the code. I'll buzz you in.
All right. But the thing is, right, Natalie has no... Like, she has no experience of it at all.
I have never tried one, no.
Or anything, for that matter.
What do you mean, anything?
Well, like, that we're talking about.
Oh, these sort of sex toys?
Yeah.
You never. How do you know that?
Because you said it, like, about 20
well,
minutes ago.
Well, the bullet, I mean, I have.
Yeah, that's what we're talking about.
Oh, okay, just yeah. That particular one, okay.
The better ones, if you can get them, would be the pants that has a full internal penis in it, because the bullets in itself, unless it's sitting in
good
the right
call.
Place, the vibration can make it move about a bit. So,
good call.
Having something that's fixed would be a lot better.
Yeah, no,
sorry,
good call, Charlotte. I agree with that.
Sorry,
what we need to get for our, what we need to get for Nat?
It will also contain any bodily fluids if you were to produce
there we go,
more than
there we
normal.
Go. Perfect,
right.
Perfect. So what we need is inside-out cock pants is what we need.
Sorry, this is a pair of pants with like a vibrator in it or a dildo.
Yeah.
And then that vibrates.
That also vibrates, yeah.
And
yeah,
just get both.
Yeah.
So I essentially just sit there with a penis vibrator inside
what,
me for
what,
the whole
what you essentially
on.
Do, Nat, is
yeah.
you okay. get the, sure. the undergarments and you accept them into you.
Yeah.
And then you accept them, okay?
Yeah.
So then there's no,
okay.
there's no coercion on my part.
Yeah.
You accept them into
yeah.
You know.
Okay.
Yeah, and then you just honestly just go about your day. There's nothing more you have to do.
But
yeah.
There's an on and off switch for the vibration though.
Once
surely.
You accept them, you can just get on with your day.
No, but it has to, it's not just vibrating the whole time though, is
no,
it?
You've honestly got to do nothing. You've got to do nothing at all.
No, that would be good if you could do that and put Natalie in an everyday scenario of
yep.
making breakfast for the kids or something.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I don't even have any, but
that's
I could
optimistic.
Go and make some. Yeah, I could just get and make some breakfast
yeah.
for some kids. I don't
yeah,
know.
Just
yeah.
go to someone's
house.
You
can make breakfast for me. I don't
okay,
mind.
There
right.
we go.
As long as
okay.
it's a full English.
That's
okay.
sorted. Okay, we'll do that.
Whilst I got my pants on.
Is the issue with this, Nat, that you don't trust me with the controls? Is that what it is? Because obviously, I'm going to fuck about with it.
I wouldn't trust any man.
Exactly.
You trust no man.
Exactly.
Why?
Men are not to be trusted with vibrating devices.
Why?
Have you not read on the amount of stories of people crashing cars and smashing things up because men are not to be...
But that's not just the fault of the person controlling the vibrations. That's the unless they're at home and they've been forced to wear them.
I think what would have to come with a warning
yeah.
that any males working this device are not to be.
I don't think it's got anything to do with men or women. I don't think it's that. I think these devices fundamentally are flawed insofar as people will use them to take the piss a lot of the time.
Mm.
Of course.
But that's
like most devices.
But that's exactly why I want. that's exactly why I would like Nat to wear this during the show.
Do they either break or go wrong or like short circuit or something like that?
Can they get
I've
you
never
pregnant?
Heard of anybody getting an electric shock
okay,
or anything
good.
So
just
yet.
Checking.
But then again, why would you hear? No one's going to tweet it, are they?
Yes, but they would. It's like,
suppose they would.
You know, in regards to people using devices for things that they shouldn't, the amount of hospital reports you find of people with various different things inserted inside them.
Yeah.
I mean, we had that story not so long back of Easter where the gentleman put, what was it, 8 Cadbury's eggs up his japsai. You know, people do crazy things.
Christ,
this is what
sake.
I'm saying. They're not responsible.
That's what, like Cadbury's cream eggs.
Not the mini ones, the hard ones.
Fucking mental cases. What's the weirdest? Oh, no, it doesn't matter.
Are we allowed to say japsai still?
I don't think it, but people
think,
do still
I think
use
maybe,
it.
Yeah, I have Paul a couple because I think is that
you get in
be,
trouble here, Charlotte.
I know. I'm
Nat's going
to
tell you off.
Is that considered to be racist or not now? Is it? I think it is.
It's but it's still fundamentally in some people's vocabulary.
Okay.
And not
is,
not in that
you know,
way.
No.
We've come into a day and age where lots of words are now politically incorrect.
Yeah.
Well, do you know what?
I think that if you're unsure, just apologise politely.
I'm okay. Yeah, well,
on,
sorry about japsai.
On the day that we're recording this, just say it again, Nat. Brilliant. On the day that we're recording this show, which would be last week for when you're hearing it now, the Right Stuff, you know that programme.
Right, yeah.
I was
on the Right Stuff.
Were you? Well, you might not want to pass opinion on this. Because I don't want you to not get work in the future because of it. They tweeted this morning. I'm going to try and find this tweet. It's not great radio. Nat, you keep talking for a second while I look at this.
Right, so where do you get these pants from, Charlotte?
No, I'm sure if you...
It's not actually why Charlotte's on the show.
Oh, yeah.
Probably Love Honey. I love Love Honey. Okay. Love Honey is one of the best up-and-coming...
they're established now, aren't they? They're
not, yeah, very established.
But I had a blank on their name not long ago.
You had a what?
They're even... I think they even look for testers. Here. Maybe you should apply for an adult toy tester position.
Okay.
That's ideal. It'd be publicity, but I don't think they need the publicity, really, do they?
No, but people do that. That is a job, though, isn't it, Charlotte? I think that people do. Obviously, you have to test these products out before they go out into the shops or onto the website.
I'll be honest. I think it was last year. It might have been last year that there was a brothel tester position in Germany for one of the mega brothels. And the unfortunate thing was is that I don't speak German, nor can I translate. So I couldn't fill in the application form.
Oh.
But I did send them an email saying that I would be the perfect role for this. Male and women, I'll test them all out. Quality control at the end of the day.
You know, this tweet I was talking about,
yes.
I've got a feeling it was
deleted.
No, a pretend account.
Oh, okay.
There's a feeling.
Really?
Yeah. Because I found the Right Stuff official account. I don't want to say it now because it will tar them with the same brush.
But it was offensive.
And I think it was. But I think it was a parody account of the Right Stuff. And I've just read it too quick when I came into the studio. Charlotte, what I was going to talk to you about was.
Mo.
What?
Mo.
Mo. Is that this... here's the problem. Can I flag this up before we start this conversation?
Sure.
I'm really squeamish.
Okay.
Right? I'm not sexually squeamish, but I'm squeamish about,
blood.
Needles, anything like that. Like, it'll just do me. So, bear that in mind as we speak.
There was no needles involved in this.
No, but there was. To tell the full story, there's something quite graphic in it, isn't there?
If we go, no needles, there's no blood.
No, of how he lost his penis.
If we go back far enough.
Oh, right,
yeah.
Okay, sure.
Yeah.
So, this is a gentleman who lost his penis when he was a child.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
However that happened.
Snowball fight.
Yeah, the snowball fight.
No, it actually was.
Yeah, it was a snowball fight.
A snowball hit. A snowball hit it, and that was the end.
Okay.
No. He won the fight, and one of the boys pushed him in front of a moving car.
Right.
And he got dragged about 20 this, meters.
Here we go. All the things I said.
It was
said,
about 600 yards he got dragged.
Yeah, that's an important part of the story now.
Yeah, and...
Right. Yeah. So, he then, in later life, he had a bionic penis.
It's only been the last 3.5 years, so he's gone through his life not even knowing that this could be possible. And the fortunate thing for him was a gentleman from a hospital contacted him and said, we would like to do something for you. So for him in that sense, absolutely amazing.
Actually, thinking about this, we could get in touch with the hospital and say, can we borrow one of your bionic penises? And does it have a remote control?
They're not a remote control, but they're actually used quite widely now within the transgender community. So,
okay.
Is there
sensation to them? So is there like, are they feeling something from it?
So in regards to Mo, what's happened is he's using the skin from his arm, so he can still feel the sensation from that.
Got you.
But it's not the sexual arousal sensation that you would get from the skin from the genitals.
Okay.
He has actually got a part of the area that was still remaining down there that's been added to the base of the penis that they've made. So he does have sexual stimulation at the base of the penis.
Got you.
But this is one of the things that Mo and I have been speaking about, and one of his next appointments at the hospital, I'd like to go with him, because to be all fairness, it would be great if we could redesign it and just move that skin slightly further up.
Okay.
Because it can be slightly problematic in the positions that you can do.
Well, your involvement in this initially was that you, because you work as a sex worker.
Yes.
That's I hate that phrase.
Mm.
Why?
I don't know. It just bothers me. I don't know why it bothers me.
I love that phrase.
Do you? Okay, then fine.
Well, it's a perfect phrase. Do you know why?
Why?
Because it involves anybody that works in sex. Mm.
Okay.
So whether they're an escort, whether they're a webcam girl, whether they're a phone girl, whether they're a porn star, they're still working in sex, but they are a sex worker.
Fair enough.
A great thing. Okay. Umbrellas, all of it.
I don't think it's not the implication that bothers me. It's just I just don't like it as a phrase.
Ah.
That's all it is. It's not. I don't mean. Oh, because I don't like those sorts of people. You know, it's. I just don't like that phrase.
It's a good phrase.
All right. Well, then you're more entitled to speak about it than I am. Certainly.
Yeah.
Because you are one.
I am one.
So.
I'm one of those.
So how would you describe? We spoke before. We spoke on the other sex show together before. And
yes.
So for people that haven't heard you before, how would you describe what you do? Out sex worker aside. What does that entail for you?
Well, I'm a multi-award-winning sex worker. So I'm an escort. I'm a sexual trainer. So I help people, couples and individuals, learn practical skills to have better sex. I'm a political campaigner and sexual freedom activist. So I do a lot of protests in regards to protecting sexual freedom and personal liberties. I'm an author.
Isn't it annoying that that's even required?
What's that?
That it requires someone has to speak out about sexual freedom.
No, it's not annoying. I mean, you've got to look at the sense of that. I wouldn't say that English is still prudish. We're not prudish.
No.
The problem is that the way society deems anybody who enjoys sex is you know, they're penalised for their own personal rights.
Yeah.
So a lot of people who do enjoy certain activities still have to remain closed doors because of the repercussions that society still deems it as. You know, I'm classified as a woman, unfortunately. We still live in a misogynistic society. So women, unfortunately, they're looked in two categories. They're either the Virgin Mary or a fallen woman.
Yeah.
There's no in between. And so if you're either deemed in either one of those categories. I'm a fallen woman. I'm a very proud fallen woman. I fall every day and I enjoy it. Literally. And this is why I remain doing what I do.
Yeah.
You know, and at the end of the day, when it comes to particular attacks on sexual freedom, you know, even with the sex education thing that Cameron's introduced not so long back, where they pulled away compulsory sex education as the national curriculum within state schools, it's just absolutely ludicrous. It seems to me as though we're going into a socialized society where anything to do with sensory, you know, sensory feelings or emotions or anything to do with sex is being demonized.
Yeah, well,
and this is a problem that we've got coming up in the future, and we need to resolve it now.
No, totally.
Because if we don't do something today, if we don't take action today, we'll have nothing left tomorrow to fight for.
But the problem is it's so backwards stepping all the time. Anyway, it's sort of like, I used to be the sort of person that would always say, "Look, if it's not fucking illegal, let people get on with it." Right?
Yeah.
But what seems to be happening now is you use that argument and they go, fine, we'll make it illegal.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Over the most ludicrous things as well. You know, if you actually look into that, you know, the Reform Sex Act thing that came, you know, that's just fucking ridiculous, the stuff that's on there.
That's, well, I don't know if you're aware of today, France has now
as of today.
The buying of it. And unfortunately,
as of last Thursday,
so did Northern Ireland.
Yep.
And what all this does is it pushes sex work deeper underground. I mean, this is what winds me up most of all, because I was with the English Collective of Prostitutes last year in Parliament when we were doing the evidence symposium.
Yeah.
And there was over 19 speakers from around the world that came to share evidence to support the case for decriminalisation. Now, Sweden came along. So that's the alliance out there is called Rose Alliance, and there was a lady called Pi Jacobson, and she was saying, if you want to know what is actually happening with the Swedish model, ask the Swedish Alliance what's happening. Women are being raped on a daily basis, and they won't report it because they need the money, because competition has increased now that all the good quality clients have dropped.
Right.
So these women are allowing themselves to have this just to get money because of this law. If this law was not there, they would be able to be empowered to say, this is how much I charge, this is my sexual safety, and this is my personal safety.
Yeah.
But because competition has increased, people are trying to get as much work as they possibly can. So they're allowing these clients to do whatever they want to do to them to be able to get the money. And that's the problem. The government are giving out misconstrued information saying this is helping, it is reducing trafficking. It's not reducing trafficking at all. If you want to reduce trafficking, you decriminalise, let the workers be empowered to report criminal activity and get on with our day-to-day activities ourselves.
Yeah, yeah. What do you think the motive is, though? This is what's always baffled me, is what's the motive behind changing these laws, and what's the motive? What is it that they're actually... Because, you know, you can also have an argument with politics and stuff, that there's always a hidden agenda to stuff. But I don't understand what the hidden agenda is here. I don't know what they're benefiting from these sort of ridiculous nanny laws. This, you know, this, that, all the face setting stuff and all that. It's like, why are they doing that? Why?
For me personally, I mean, I'm. Oops, I'm peeping the horn. I'm sat in my car. For me personally, I look at it in the sense of George Orwell, 1984. If you watch that film, it's a collection of a Chinese government of control, and it takes away. It uses sensory deprivation to be able to control people. Now, what's happening is that. If you look at it in a whole, 2 years ago, when I did the face-sitting protest, people were saying, oh, this is an attack on personal liberties, this is an attack on sexual freedom, which it is, but it's a complete smokescreen. They used the pornography, the adult industry, as a smokescreen to gain the public vote to be able to put online filters in place to censor the internet.
Right.
And people were laughing at me 2 years ago, whereas now you look at it, Cameron is at a win-win in regards to the EU referendum. If we leave, if we stay in the EU, he wins. If we leave the EU, he wins, because he wanted to put these online filters in place a couple of months back, and the EU said no. If we leave the EU, he's immediately going to put these filters in. And what these do is it controls the access that you're able to view online. Secondly, it diminishes the opportunity of education for the LGBTQ or gay communities. So people will be lacking the education and information that they need and that they're required as a human right to be able to access. But it also gives an opportunity of control through propaganda. You go onto YouTube, you won't be able to find a face-sitting video that's been made and distributed in the UK, because that's deemed illegal. But you put in ISIS beheading somebody and you'll get floods of videos.
Yeah.
Because it's all about propaganda and it's all about control.
Where do we vote for you?
I've done my days of MPing. I ran for MP twice. And do you know what upset me the most? It was the second time that I did it. Britain First beat me by, I think it was 6 votes. Wow. And I just thought to myself that people would rather be racist than enjoy sexual and personal liberties in their own lives.
It's depressing, though, isn't it? it's really depressing. I don't know what the answer is with this, Charlotte.
The answer is people need to be having more sex.
Just get on with it. Just do it.
If people are having more sex, then there's serotonin and all those good, happy hormones will be floating about the body, and nobody will give two shits about what anybody else is doing because they'll be happy in their own life.
Yeah, you're right. But you're genuinely right.
Yeah,
I'm going to make a point of doing all these illegal things. I don't mean the really illegal things. I should make that clear.
What I'm doing, I'm doing a exhibition. It's called 13 Steps to Suppression.
Okay.
And the 13 banned activities in pornography, I'm taking those and I'm putting them into pictures that I'm going to be auctioning in December. There's only going to be 200 made.
Okay.
And the 13 pictures are going to be quite large. So I'll give you an example of one. So caning is one of the banned activities. I've got a good friend of mine who's going to be caning in a servant's outfit. He's a black guy in a servant's outfit outside Buckingham Palace, caning a white woman.
Nice.
So they're going to be very controversial. Some of them are going to be very funny. So I'm going to have 4 black and white pictures. I'm going to have one lady that's going to be that's under female ejaculation.
Okay.
She's going to be squirting, and as the squirt projecting into a swimming pool, the liquid is going to be a neon colour, and there's going to be 8 David Cameron drowning in the pool.
Sounds ace.
This is going to be
up for auction in December.
Right. So
the first unreeling of it.
Okay, so you are going to get
be in September.
You are going to get arrested, though. You know that already, don't you?
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
That's
okay.
Fine.
So what's the plan then?
Well, once I'm arrested, I can finish my book then.
Brilliant. Okay. I mean, I've got a clock next to me. So just so you know, all the way through this interview, Nat is holding numbers up to me to let me know how long we've got left. And Nat, I've got it here.
Okay.
I know. So putting me off the chat. Sorry, Charlotte.
I'm sorry.
I'll do everything in my power, as I always do, to promote it on the Twitter and on the shows that I do and all that.
Brilliant.
By all means, because I think that's amazing. And I'm obviously, you know, this can only end badly.
Yes.
But
of course.
But in the bigger scale of things, it's fun.
It's going to be a worldwide shocking event.
Totally.
And this is what it's all about.
Yeah. Totally. I've not even spoken to you about Mo and his penis.
I know.
Was it good? You had sex with Mo. He lost his virginity with you because he didn't have a penis as a young man. So now he's got it now. He lost his virginity with you.
Yes.
But, you've already told us that you're going to go and redesign his cock anyway, so...
Well, this is it. I mean, when on the first night, unfortunately, the device wasn't working correctly, so we had to wait till the second night. But when he showed it me, I will be honest, I was actually lost for words. Yes, I can talk the hind legs off a donkey, but this time I was lost for words. And when I was looking at it, I just kept stammering. And he goes, Mo goes, oh, no, that's not good. I goes, no, Mo. This is good. This is incredible. It's an incredible work of art. What the doctor has done for him is just magnificent. It really is. The shape of it's great. It's got they've even made a line around the top to look like the I don't know what we're talking about political correctness now.
The
top of the bell end.
Bell end's fine.
Yeah, the bell end is fine. So, you know, you've got the line there, and it just looks incredible. It really, really does. There's a few more little bits and bobs that needs to be done, of course.
Okay.
That he's going to be doing over the next few months. But again, you know, with the natural bit of skin being at the base of the penis, this really needs to be moved up so he gets more of a sensation up and down the shaft rather than just at the base.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. 8 inches, apparently. Mm-hmm. 8 inches.
8 inches, yes. 8 inches. It is very... and the girth is the girth too, is good, too.
Too big, that, really, isn't it?
Oh, well, it's what you do with it that makes a difference.
Yeah, I reckon 8 inches is far too big. So I reckon.
There's a bit of cock envy here.
I don't want people like listening to this and thinking, oh yeah, they've got to be 8 inches, because I personally think that's too big.
I can imagine some workmen listening to it and go elbowing his mate, going, "Yeah, they're talking about mine here."
No issue on girth. That's fine, but length.
Yeah.
Fucking right off, mate. You want to see me? On the
girth
slack? Sometimes it's just skin. Honestly, it's pathetic. Like skin on a walnut. Pathetic.
Yeah.
Well, listen, mate. We're out of time. It's been a pleasure speaking to you as always. Come on whenever you want.
And you, no problem.
But yeah, I could happily listen to you speaking all day.
Oh well, give me a call anytime. You're more than welcome.
Hang on, I'm not paying for it.
Let me do a quick plug. If anybody needs any advice or information or any bits and bobs from me, then please do go to www.firstladyofsex.com.
There you go. Charlotte Rose, thanks very much indeed.
No worries. Thanks for having me.
Pleasure. Bye. That's the end of the show as well. We're finished. We're done. That's the end.
Yes, we are.
God save the Queen. What better fucking time to play this than after Charlotte?
I love Charlotte.
See you next week.